My name is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. This interview is with Councillor Jamal Myers of Scarborough North, Ward 23. I spoke with Councillor Myers about the Alcohol Consumption and Public Parks pilot project, which is in its final stages of approval. Once approved, it will begin on August 2nd and go until October 9th. Once approved, drinking will only be allowed in participating parks. Myers is one of the 12 councillors who has opted into the program. He chose Milken Park to be one of the 20 parks to participate in the program. If the program is successful, it can be expanded citywide. The approval of the parks will be going to City Council on July 19th. Myers is hopeful of the program's continuation after October 9th. So I guess we'll start in the press release that came out a couple days ago, it was stated that you were one of the people who have opted into and offered a park up for the new alcohol and consumption pilot program. So why did you decide to opt in?
I mean, you know, for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's happening already. Public parks belong to everyone, including people who don't have backyards. And I think it was just a fair and equitable policy to allow people to safely consume alcohol in public parks. You know, I chose Milliken specifically because it had the right type of amenities to, I think, to accommodate public parks. So access to washrooms, access to fountains, access to transit, and it met the other criteria laid out by the city. You know, COVID has shown that, you know, outdoor green spaces are good for everyone's mental health. And it showed that, you know, we can consume alcohol outdoors in a fun and responsible way. So I, you know, decided that Ward 23, my residents, were ready for this. Certainly haven't heard anything negative as of yet to the announcement. So I think people are going to be supportive of this policy.
With this policy starting up in a month from now, in August 6th, what has to be done to get it all set up for that time?
So I think there's some signage that has to be made around the policies about drinking in park. For example, like what's expected, you know, regular signage about, you know, public intoxication is still illegal. You're expected to clean up after yourself. There's access to washrooms and water fountains if need be. And also we have to get in place the resources to collect the data. One of the really heartening things about this pilot is that these parks are now, these pilot parks are basically across the city except for Etobicoke. So we'll have a good sampling of data to see, you know, what works, what can be improved, what can be done differently if and when we decide to roll this out to every park in the city.
And why specifically the park you chose?
So there are a number of factors that the city had put in the criteria for what factors would be allowed, what factors would decide which parks were appropriate for this pilot. So, for example, like I said before, you know, having access to washrooms and water fountains, also not being attached to schools, also not being close to water or cliffs. So, you know, I had already concluded that Milliken Park was the most appropriate park. And, you know, staff had concluded that as well. And just on my own observation in the park, there was already a lot of public drinking in a very safe, responsible way happening in the park. So I wanted to remove the stigma and let people know that, yes, it's okay to drink in parks. This is something that's quite common in the rest of the world, particularly in Europe, even in, you know, other Canadian cities such as Montreal and Vancouver. So I think this was a positive step forward. I think most people will enjoy, you know, having the option to enjoy a beer or a glass of wine in the park.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up that kind of removal of stigma. Why is it important to kind of, I guess, demystify alcohol? Much like, you know, more, I guess, European countries like Germany and France, for instance.
So it's interesting. What some of the evidence has shown, at least anecdotally, is that when people are drinking alcohol illegally in parks, they tend not to clean up after themselves because they're afraid of being shown carrying bottles or cans to the garbage cans. So they tend to just leave them where they are or hide them in bushes, etc. Whereas when it's legalized, they will then bring them to the garbage cans and put them there because, you know, we've removed that stigma from, you know, drinking in the parks. So there's that. And there's just this notion that somehow something bad is going to happen if people consume alcohol in the parks. You know, people are consuming alcohol in the parks right now. It's a law that we're not enforcing. So I think it's, you know, incumbent upon us to, you know, have bylaws that reflect what, you know, the actual population behavior that's going on and make sure that we can have alcohol in parks in a fun and responsible way.
You mentioned it a little bit earlier about some of the, I guess, bylaws and whatnot that need to be removed, for instance, being intoxicated in public. Are there any other hurdles in the way of setting this up?
So to be clear, it is still illegal to be intoxicated in public. You know, having one or two drinks does not make you intoxicated. So being intoxicated is still illegal. Public littering is still illegal. Being a nuisance is still illegal. This is just, you know, people having a responsible drink in the park. Mm-hmm. That's what this bylaw is looking at.
And so you mentioned it as well, that people were already kind of drinking in this park. I believe it was last month or the month before that, there was, when they were proposing this again, that they brought up that there were, I believe, zero infractions of public intoxication at parks. Is it possible at all that this infraction might go up with public intoxication might go up instead?
Yes, you know, it might. I don't know how much effort police are actually putting into enforcing this rule. I don't think, you know, Toronto police officers are walking around the parks looking for intoxicated people or looking for people drinking in parks. Otherwise, they would be arresting whole swaths of the park, especially in some of our downtown parks or on some certain beaches. I think what happens is if you are publicly intoxicated and you are causing a nuisance to others or you are in danger to yourselves, then someone might call the police or the police might notice something that's happening. But other than that, I don't think this is the main concern of Toronto police officers. I mean, people are intoxicated in bars all the time, and they're not going into the bars to arrest them. So I don't see why there would be a big difference in a public park.
This has been in the works for a while now. I remember hearing about this, I want to say 5 or so, 6 years ago. Were you a big proponent of it back then as well?
I mean, I was. So I a little bit about my background. Prior, for about 7.5 years, I was living in New York City. So I moved back to Toronto in 2018. So for me, drinking in the park was no-brainer. People drank in the parks in New York all the time, and it wasn't an issue. And it was only here when I came back and, you know, we would, you know, often go, if we were downtown and having a beer in a park, we'd have to hide it, or there was this shame in drinking in the park, even though everybody was drinking in the park. And what was happening is people would often litter because they were, again, afraid to bring their garbage to the proper garbage bin because they didn't want to be seen carrying alcohol. So I think it's really just about, you know, dealing with the reality that people drink in parks. The big city, we have lots of people living in condos. We have lots of great parks and people want to enjoy them. And as long as they're doing it, you know, safely and responsibly and they're not bothering other people, I don't really think it's the city's role to dictate what someone can do in something that what someone can and cannot do when, you know, what they're doing is legal. People smoke in parks, people might not like that, but they still have that right. So it'd be, for me, almost the same as, you know, telling people that they can't smoke in a park because that might bother someone else.
So you mentioned it as well that when there are people litter less, typically when there is, I guess it's not illegal to drink, is there like an expected increase of, I guess, recyclables and trash coming out of parks?
You know, that was one of the questions I had raised. So it was an expected increase in sort of like litter monitoring and an extension of how long the bathrooms would be open and whether or not the bathrooms would be more frequently cleaned. I don't think there are plans, at least for the bathroom part as of now. I don't know about the parks. I don't know about whether or not there will be additional litter bins. I think this is something, again, that we're going to get data from the pilot to see if we actually do need extra litter bins. Do these litter bins need to be, you know, emptied more often? Do the parks need to be open longer? Do the bathrooms need to be open longer? Do we need to put more porta potties in the bathroom? Like, these are all things that we're hoping to gather from this this pilot project.
Once this pilot project is over in October, do you hope that this program continues past its expected date?
I hope so. I think most people are ready. I think most Torontonians are ready for this. And I think most people understand that there are numerous benefits to just having people, you know, enjoy each other's companies outside and, you know, being able to congregate safely and responsibly. And I don't think most people have an issue with this. I think it's the behavior that sort of surrounds drinking the park. So like the example, the littering, the intoxication, those are the things that people don't like. And those are the things that will still be illegal under this bylaw if this goes forward.
All right. So that's all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Yeah. Enjoy the long weekend.
The opening and ending tracks were done by the artist Post Elvis.